Please pray for me as we go through our services this morning. Easter Sunday services. And I want to say, each and every one of you, including myself, need to be thankful that the Lord placed the desire in our hearts to be here on Easter Sunday. How many people did you pass who did not have that same desire today? Thank the Lord for the faith that He has given you. As we go into our message this morning, I pray that this will be a message that will be uplifting. It's a message of hope, because today is a day of victory. And I want to remind us of that, but we chose the Old Rugged Cross hymn also right prior to speaking because it represents a lot for different people. Most importantly, it represents it as Jesus knew what He faced when He came to this earth. He did it anyway, despising the shame, as the lyrics expressed as you sing the song. But He did it for the love of His people and because it was the will of the Lord. But for most people, that old rugged cross, I think, gives us something to identify with as we struggle in life. You know, the history of the It Is Well With My Soul and Old Rugged Cross, those people had some hardships and hard times in their life. We do too. And Jesus said that we all have to bear our cross if we are going to follow Him. He told us that in life, yes, we will have troubles. And that's to be expected. But there's so much more. Because you see, Jesus gives us hope for what He did on that cross and for what comes after that cross. So for just a moment, as we start our message this morning, I want to focus on what Jesus accomplished on that cross. And there's three little words that I want us to take notice of this morning. Perhaps you have many, many times in your Christian life. But sometimes we take them for granted. But they say so much. And those words are, it is finished. It is finished. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in chapter 2, the word tells us, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. They were finished. The Lord finished the work of creation in 6 days. And He finished the work of redemption in 6 hours when Jesus died on the cross. It is finished. Jesus knew what He was facing when He came to this earth. And we've been talking about that now for several messages and several sermons. But because of the great love that He had for His people, He willfully accepted what was needed for their redemption. In John chapter 17, Jesus tells us Himself that He had completed the work that the Lord had sent Him to do. Starting in verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I have glorified You on earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had before the world was. We can never overlook the glory that Jesus left behind to come and be the humble servant that He was, to be the Redeemer of His people, and to bear that old rugged cross. God gave Him work to do, and He came and He fulfilled it. And now this is right before He would be led away to become the sacrifice for our sins. And He says, I have finished the work. And now it is time for the last act that he would do. And that leads us over to the Gospel of John in chapter 19. And here in the Gospel of John, we read what Jesus will do in completing salvation's plan. And this is so humbling. And this is a sermon all to itself, this one passage. But we're going to go through it maybe a little faster this morning. But there's a couple things I want to point out to you as we do. Jesus is crucified. He's hanging on that old rugged cross. And here it's recorded, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. I want to stop for just a moment. You see, even in his agony of hanging on that cross, Jesus was aware of the needs of those he loved. And folks, that includes me and you. And he was providing for his mother because he would not be there. So he gave that responsibility to the one he loved, to John. And it says from that very hour, John took her. And he loved her as his own mother. And he would care and provide for her. Even in his dying last few minutes, Jesus was providing for the needs of his people. And folks, he still provides for me and for you this very day. Never think that God is not aware of what is needed in our lives. He is. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. You see, folks, he knew how long he needed to hang on that cross. And when it was done, it said, knowing that all things had been accomplished, he gave up his spirit and said, "It is finished." The words "it is finished" are a declaration of completion, and they're a declaration of victory. They ended the old covenant. They fulfilled every prophecy that was written about him. And they marked the beginning of salvation and of a new covenant through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it set us free. And we need to start remembering that, and it should have an impact on our lives. It set us free. This is a day of victory because he finished and completed all the work that the Lord sent him to do. Jesus paid those debts that we could not pay. That's one of the reasons he came to earth. Every sin that either any of us have ever committed, or those who lived before Jesus, they be them great or small, they all carried a consequence because the Word tells us the justice of God demands that sin be punished. For the wages of sin is death. And to meet that justice, Jesus came. And Jesus paid our sin debt, and he paid it in full. In Isaiah 53, it tells us, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed." With his blood, Jesus paid the price for every sin, past, present, and future. And folks, make no mistake. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. Only Jesus Christ could pay this debt in our behalf. And you could not pay it. And I couldn't pay it. And there's nobody that's ever lived who could pay it. Because none of us are righteous. No, not one. Only Jesus Christ could pay that debt. And he paid it in full. And when he did pay it in full, he fulfilled the will of God. And we find that recorded in Hebrews. Please listen to these words and understand the meaning in it. Because this is the words is about Jesus Himself. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire." Speaking of the Father. "But a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the books it is written of me, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all, to do your will, O God. Once and for all we have been sacrificed, we have been sanctified because of what Jesus Christ has done.'" We need to understand that it is because of what Jesus has done. Because of what He did, guilt and condemnation are canceled. And the Word tells us this in Romans. "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Jesus." You see, the blood of Jesus cleanses us completely. When He said it was finished, it was finished. It cleanses us completely. There is no more separation between God and man because of what He did on the cross. It was finished. And when it was finished, in Matthew 27, we read, "Then the words tell us, 'Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split.'" That veil was served a purpose. It veiled us and hid us from the holiness of God. It was a barrier between our Holy Father above and sinful man. But Jesus' death removed that barrier permanently. And there is nothing that hinders us now between going to God because of what He did on the cross. The power of sin is canceled because Jesus paid it all. He paid everything that was owed. He paid that debt. And folks, nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away. Nobody can diminish the work that He did on the cross. And there's no work that you and I can do to make it any more significant. He paid it all and He paid it in full. And now because of what He did, when He said it is finished, we can live in victory because He canceled our sin debt. He paid it in full. But there's so much more. Because you see, when it was finished, it was a declaration, "Yes, Father, I have paid it all." And now, new life can begin. Old things have passed away. And now there will be a new covenant because He just didn't die on that cross, but He went into the grave and He rose again. And the Word tells us that. He is risen. He is risen. I said a couple times now, this is a day of victory because Jesus Christ is risen. He just didn't die on that old rugged cross. He paid for debts on that old rugged cross, but He went into the grave and He came out of the grave and He is risen. Let's read the words that are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. "Now after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and His clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear of Him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He has risen as He said.'" And we need to remember that is what He said. "He is risen as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And indeed, He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you." And folks, those last words are important to me and to you. "Behold, I have told you." Because we have been told. We have everything that is recorded in the Gospels. We have been told. And we must believe Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is victorious. How many people proclaim to be Christians, but they don't fully grasp or come to terms that, yes, He rose from the grave? How many counter-gospels are out there saying that He was just a prophet or maybe a good man? But that's not what we believe. That's not what God has revealed to us in our hearts. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we read these same things in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16, starting in verse 6. But He said to them, and this is the angels talking when the women have come to the tomb. And the angel is talking to the women and said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him." Mark's gospel was written prior to the other gospels being written, but it's recorded in all the gospels. Jesus Christ is risen. He is not here in that empty tomb. He is victorious over it because He finished that work on the cross, and there is no power that could have held Him in that grave. He is risen. See the place where they laid Him. And then in Luke's gospel, again, the women have gone to the tomb and there's an angel. And the women, this is what's recorded, the women are afraid. "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered His words." We need to remember His words. Jesus prophesied and proclaimed everything that was going to happen. Jesus told the future before it occurred. And folks, He knows our future too. You see, because He has risen, ours is a future victory. And we need to remember His words because everything happened exactly like He said. And we don't need to be afraid. No, we need to be living victoriously because He is risen from the dead. Because He is risen, and because the Lord has given you faith in your heart to believe it, we can do what we read in Hebrews. "Let us therefore become boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, that song, that hymn, "It is well with my soul, an old rugged cross." We have times when we need God's grace and His mercy. And folks, He's there to give it. And it's there to remind us, as He told His disciples, "I have overcome the world." And there's times when we feel like there's too much weight to bear. But we need to go to His throne of grace boldly, remembering what Christ Jesus did for us. And that remembering that, yes, we may have momentary troubles in this life, but Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and we have life through Christ. So we can go boldly to that throne of grace and ask for forgiveness, and ask for mercy, and ask for direction, and to remember the words that He spoke to us. And we need to remember when we have those troubles. Because Jesus Christ has risen, the power of the world and the power of Satan is defeated. He overcame them all. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority. There is no greater, and that includes Satan. All authority is given to him. And in Colossians, we read the following. "And you," and folks, make this very personal. Let these words sink into your heart and into your soul. "And you, each one of us here today, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." We forget sometimes that our obligations that we could not fulfill of the law have been nailed to the cross. Our unworthiness is nailed to the cross. And our sins have been wiped away, and they've been nailed to the cross. In verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made public spectacles of them, triumphing over them. And folks, because we have faith and because we live through Jesus Christ, we are triumphant over those sins too. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Because he paid that sin debt and he rose from the grave. And he has all authority, including over Satan, but more personally, over me and over you. Because he is risen there, risen from the grave. And because he is risen, what we find in Philippians chapter 2 are so special. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Because he is risen, folks, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, will you start obeying the commands that the King of kings has given you? Will you start remembering that he has told us to keep his commandments? Will you live by faith when he speaks to your heart, when you go to him in prayer? Because he has risen, we can keep his commandments and we can remember the words that he's told us. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because he is risen, we can never forget. There is a new beginning in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those old things in your life, you need to let them go. Because your sins were nailed to the cross. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old is gone, and the new has come. You see, folks, we have a new identity. And we should have a new nature within us. And we need to recognize we have a destiny because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross and because he overcame the cross and the grave and he is risen. Romans 8 tells us this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. You see, we can live by resurrection power too. There's a song about that. I have resurrection power living inside of me. And we do because the God who resurrected Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to live within us. And this means that the resurrection was just not a historical event, but it should be a daily experience for each and every one of us. We should be living by that power that is inside of us. Not by the world, but by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit that we ask and pray, hopefully on a daily basis to guide and direct us as we need. In Galatians we read, because of what Jesus has done, we can live a life, and folks, we can live it victoriously. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we are victorious. Because he gave his life for us. He poured out his blood on that cross, and that precious blood of Christ washes away all our sins. He rose from that grave, and because he did, we can live victoriously because of the power that is within us. And folks, we need to grasp it, and we need to start living victoriously. See, none of us should ever live in despair. You're listening to the lies of Satan if you are. We should never think that we are defeated in this life because we are not. Victory is ours, and it is our inheritance through Jesus Christ who gave himself for us, who saved us, and who now lives within us. You see, ours is a life of victory because of Jesus Christ. Jesus told His disciples, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And we may have troubles in our life, and that old rugged cross may be very heavy and hard to carry sometimes, but we have victory in Jesus Christ because of what He did on the cross and because He's risen from the grave. And we know it and we believe it because of God's amazing grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You keep thinking about these gifts. We can't count all of our blessings on this Easter Sunday. We gather together to worship. God allowed us to be here. He gave us life. He has given us His Word to realize that He has done everything for us and that we can live victoriously. But folks, this world, there's so much more. This is not all there is. As Mr. Motes prayed in his prayer, there's so much more than just the disappointments of this life, even though there's more joy than disappointment. If this all there was, that cross would weigh us down to the ground and we couldn't keep going forward. But there's more. There's more. We are victorious because of what Jesus Christ did. Because He loved us, and He saved us, and He came to be the ransom for us to redeem us. Because He has risen, we have hope beyond this life. These are the words of Jesus Himself in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Because Jesus paid it all. And because of what He did, we are victorious. You see, folks, those three little words in that statement, "It is finished." It was not just a proclamation of Jesus' death that His suffering was over. It's also a declaration of your deliverance. He snatched you from Satan's hand and delivered you. Every battle that we could not win, Jesus Christ has won. Every debt that you could not pay, He came and paid it in full through the shedding of His own blood. Every door that we could not open, He opened because He has redeemed us to the Father above. Now by faith, which you have, we all shared in communion this morning, by the faith given you, folks, it's time we make a correction in our life if it's necessary. We need to start living victoriously. We need to walk by faith and remember what words were spoken. He is risen from the grave, and because He is risen from the grave, that same power is within us. And when we turn to Jesus, we can overcome whatever obstacles we have in this life. And we need to remember that this life is just a glimmer. It's so small, so short. But He has given us eternal life. And all that are in Christ will never perish. So what should we do? As we conclude now, and we think and we go home on Easter Sunday, what should we do? Will you live a life that is victoriously? Will you think about these words today? Will you change and let go of old things from the past if they hinder you? You know, sometimes our regrets, our sins, weigh us down like shackles on our feet. Well, those are self-imposed. We need to let them go. Yes, we can learn from our past mistakes, but our past mistakes don't define us. What defines a believer in Christ? It is the blood of Jesus Christ and the faith that we have in it, that He overcame our sins and has delivered us. Through His blood, we are victorious. So again, I ask, what should we do? We find it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And let me stop right here before we read any further. You know, sometimes we see movies and we see things and our loved ones are in heaven and there's all of these different silhouettes and things. Nobody truly knows how grand and how great that may be. But Paul is describing a cloud of witnesses here. There are others who have already passed on who have lived by faith. Because we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We should run this race of life that we have been given. We should do it knowing that we will be victorious in whatever obstacles we have that we need to overcome. Through the power of Christ, we can overcome it. Let the words, "it is finished," complete and eliminate anything from the past that may be weighing you down. Set those things aside. Live victoriously through Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. A sinner who didn't deserve it. But He knew that when He came to this world. He knew about it all. And yet still, He chose us. Because He is risen, we have hope. Praise God for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And praise God that when your faith is, when you turn to Him in faith, you can live a life of victory through Him. Now we're about to sing a song, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." It doesn't matter if you're a member of this church or not. If you are a believer in Christ, will you obey those words? "Wherever He leads you, I'll go." Sometimes we get led down a pathway we wish we didn't have to walk. But it's the Lord's will. Just like it was the Lord's will that Jesus come to earth. I pray that we will be obedient to that. That we will be encouraged to follow Him wherever He leads. Because only when we follow Him are we growing closer in our daily walk. And we can walk wherever He leads us because of His victory. Now, if you are here today and you want to follow God and you're not a member of a church, these doors are open. And they're open for you to express your love for Christ. It's not just a come down and join the church moment. It's a time for you to express how much you appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for you. The doors are open for you to do that as we sing this song, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." Brother Mark.